Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're going to be talking about abuse, trauma, and the fetish connection. It's not that all fetishes have arisen from abuse or trauma, but there is a link that for some people, it is the case. Although the number of people practicing fetishes and kinks in particular, if you were to interview all of them, they probably do not all consistently have some kind of trauma or abuse that led to that. They might have had experiences or something that maybe they didn't even consider altogether that traumatic, but they were memorable and that kind of brought it forth too. I'd say that we are all a product of everything that happened through our formative ages. So whether we look at this as the kink came out because of the way you were raised, or that there was trauma, or that there was abuse, or that, you know, you have a kink for high heels because your mom was this like beautiful woman who had all these incredible high heels and now you're in love with them. So that is something to look at. So for those of you who are watching and wondering what is going on here, what's happening on this weird, wacky, wild show, my name is Milica Jelinic, and you are listening to The Pleasure Zone right now, where we talk about all things to do with pleasure, whether it's the history, the mystery, the psychology, the anthropology. We talk about so many different ways of approaching human sexuality and our pleasure. And we even talk about things like trauma. Thus, this whole episode has a little bit of discussion on what some of the traumas might be that lead to maybe different fetishes, but also how we can use different things like kink and fetish in order to heal some traumas. And I've been talking about that a little bit in the last few episodes, generally. Talking about bondage last time, specifically on one of the episodes. And in general, we're just going to talk about some of the ways that this can be a happy, healthful, healthy way to be expressive and be able to create better connection and to be able to heal some of our wounds, whatever they look like. So, and they can just be for the sake of having fun too. Some people just like in it for the fun. They weren't highly traumatized. And I find that an interesting thing to say. And the reason why I say it is because the research that has been done on this says that most people who have fetishes haven't necessarily had trauma. Now, I think that if we look at what the definition of trauma or abuse is, there might be more people included in that. If we also looked at people who maybe have repressed things and they don't even know, and if all these things are deeply hidden, they might not realize what's going on. So research always has a skew to it as well. It depends on the population that was interviewed and all that sort of stuff. So as much as I will do a little reference to some research, this is basically just coming from my experience working with people and what I've come to see through different people's experiences. So in my work, I'm a holistic health practitioner, as well as a sex and intimacy coach. And I'm now also an Amazon best-selling author. And I got a fabulous book called The Pleasure Zone, A Guide for Curious Pleasure Seekers. You can find that on Amazon. You can find as the hardcover, softcover, and the ebook on there. So why do I talk about these things? Partly why I talk about them is I have like a deep fascination with human sexuality, with our ways that we connect with each other, with basically like what makes us tick and why are we, so expressive and desiring of pleasure, especially when it comes to sexual pleasure. And there is a large segment of society, well, large, there is a segment of society who also isn't really into it, right? So we will probably go back and have conversations about things like asexuality and demisexuality and things like that, because those are all incredibly normal ways to be sexually expressive in the world as well, which might not require or desire much sexual expression at all. It's nothing wrong with that at all. So, what would have certain fetishes kick in? And one of the questions I was thinking about this mostly because of the fact that for the last probably 100 years, more than 100 years, anybody who's worked on looking at people's sexual preferences have often looked at what was going on in their childhood. There's always been this desire to look at how we were shaped and raised, and what were the formative years like, and did that lead to certain things that you are interested in or that turn you on? And as much as there's been tons and tons of research, there isn't a lot of conclusive research, again, because a lot of research on human sexuality is skewed to the people who are willing to go and show up and actually talk about these things. So you have to be a bit of an exhibitionist. Not that you're necessarily having sex in front of the researchers, although in some studies that does did happen. I don't know if it's still happening, probably. And that there is like the desire to be open enough to talk about it. So some of these things are so private that you wouldn't find people talking about them. And the professional people who work in these areas that work with kinks and fetishes, say DOMs and sub professional subs and DOMs, they don't necessarily sit back and do notes and take research on the people that they're working with. They don't necessarily have long history intakes on these subjects. So I think if we could get the DOMs together with the sex researchers and get them somehow to work together, in order to be able to share information, that'd be great. Although a lot of that stuff is incredibly private, so it wouldn't be shared, right? So there's that aspect to it too. So what do we actually know? Is I think just through exploration and asking some questions, we can ask, like, personally, whatever you're attracted to is like, I wonder when that started. When was the first time I felt that? And so looking back, some of the things I find are probably like a turn on now in my life were maybe never a turn on in my life before. In fact, until I did a lot of my own healing work, I probably wouldn't to set foot near half the stuff that I would find attractive now. So why and how does that evolve? I think for one thing, we do change and we evolve over time, but some things are innate to us and they just kind of stick around. So there might be things that you've always been interested in or attracted to, and that's never changed. And so do they evolve through different life experiences? Yes, probably. Do they evolve because you learn more and you found out, oh, this exists? Well, that's fascinating. I didn't even know that was a thing, and I didn't even realize how cool or how much of a turn on that is. So there's a mixed bag. Some research indicates that there is an intersection between trauma and sexual behavior, but then there's this whole other, amount of research that says that trauma does not create kink. So, when we have these two various, very differing opinions on this, where do we go to? I think we just need to start going to our own thoughts and hearts. I am going to look at both sides of these things because there is, I think, some valuable information on both sides. And that one of the things is that under the trauma does not create kink is that it's very specific that childhood trauma and childhood sexual abuse specifically are not a direct link to kinks. But other abuses that might not be sexual abuse or other traumatic experiences like humiliation that don't necessarily involve sexual trauma may have a link to some of the things that get you rocking and rolling. And so if you are into kink, the chances are you're a kind of person who clicked on this. If you're into fetishes and kinks, you're probably like, yeah, okay. So where do I stand? What am I interested in? Say you have one of the most common fetishes. Well, there's a top 10 of common fetishes, but one of the most common fetishes would be like golden showers. And so what are golden showers? That's when urination is the play of the hour, water sports, some people call it. So really common, generally quite safe unless you're urinating in somebody's mouth and then they're choking on that and they die. Or if you have an infection and the person has like they have like autoimmune issues, they have immune issues and then their body can't handle whatever infectious thing is being transferred. But that would be the case with any kind of infectious thing being passed over. So urination fascination. I did a show called Urination Fascination. So where would we think that would even stem from? I know as a little kid, I had this like total thing where I absolutely had to hold on to my pee. I was like determined. It was both a control thing and it was both, I didn't have words for it at the time, but I absolutely loved the sensation of holding on to my pee so much to the point where my bladder felt like it was going to explode, and the rush of making it to the bathroom just before peeing your pants. That was like such a weird high and rush for me as a kid. Not that it's weird. I don't know. Anybody else out there have that thing where you're like, I just love holding on until I can't hold on anymore. And then the relief is even stronger. It's like when you have so much stress and then, you know, it gets to the breaking point and you finally let go and you're like, oh, well now that's good. Now I feel good. So I had like sort of a fixation with peeing when I was little. And I think I see that in a lot of kids. They call it like it's part of developmental stuff, peeing and pooing and blah, blah, blah. So developmentally, are we stuck as 2-year-olds and we're having like control issues over our pee? Maybe. Are we emotionally there when we're like holding on? Is that a thing when, you know, people are experiencing the urination fascination, we're into golden showers, water sports, when they're into that, is that something that stems from just the ability to feel safe? Maybe urinating in front of somebody, peeing in front of somebody, or wetting themselves in front of somebody. Is that something that is a turn on? And sometimes it's the language that goes with it. So sometimes like the language of wetting yourself is more of a turn on to talk about that than saying pissing yourself. And so certain language can make it feel more innocent or playful. So the whole thing of where does this start? Most people who are fairly aware and conscious and are kinky and into fetishes and things will probably be able to backtrack their stories and realize like, oh, wait a second, I remember when that happened. Like, oh, I actually remember the scenario of when that was okay or when it wasn't okay. And now I want to resolve that through this type of play so that I don't feel shame around peeing. So because I had such a thing about holding onto my pee, I ended up having a few accidents in my life and I was absolutely humiliated by them. And it was then when I started to learn about kinks somewhere in my teens, and I started to wonder, like, why is it, you know, why are people okay with feeling humiliated? Because for me, it was so hard to even think or conceive of that, or even to conceive of being okay with somebody feeling humiliated in front of me was so hard. So for me personally, humiliation doesn't, it makes me sad. I don't get turned on by humiliating others. And I don't really get turned on by watching others be humiliated either. But the whole fascination of being okay with, it's like, oh, you're peeing yourself. That's cool. You just wet yourself. That's cool. Whatever. That's like a different gameplay. But if we're looking at things like embarrassing the person, the only reason I would ever do that is if I truly didn't like the person and I'd have to really enjoy watching them suffer. But there's only probably, I could probably name 20 people that I've ever met in my life that I would feel great delight in making them feel like shit. But it wouldn't be for them to feel happy about feeling like shit. It would literally be just for them to feel like shit. So a little bit, I got a little bit of a masochist in me, but not a heck of a lot of masochist going on. So how do these things evolve? So we'll look at that particular one because that's one of the most common ones. But when we are going to head to break, and when we do, just if you are into fetishes and into kinks, so just like take a minute and sit right back and just think about that. Like, when was the first time that I found that I was aroused by whatever it happens to be? When was that? And then kind of deep dive, evolve into look at your evolution of where that started. It's a curious thought. I'm just curious where that started for you. We're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about abuse and trauma and the fetish connection. Like, how are abuse and trauma connected to fetishes? Well, I think they are. Some research says that it's, that sexual trauma in childhood and sexual abuse in childhood are not linked to kinks. It's a very specific wording, but it doesn't say anything about other traumatic, humiliating experiences or other abuses that might lead to that. We'll take another really common scenario. So just before break, I was talking about one of the common scenarios of golden showers or water sports, is water play, or the urination fascination, as I call it. So when we look at that, so the other one of the things that's really, so that one's common, but then also things like the playing like the headmaster school girl role / headmaster schoolboy role or headmaster school kid role, whatever you want to name it. So there's actually, that one's a really, really common one. And so we've got power dynamics going on where there's more of an authoritarian figure in like the teacher headmistress We've got the sub as the one who's getting probably spanked, some punishment of some sort. And so that one, I think for a lot of people who have ever written to me about their absolute desire for that. So I have a few people who write to me on a fairly regular basis, although the one who was writing about spanking a lot, I haven't heard from in a while. Do you know that that person's still alive? But the particular scenarios around spanking for this person would come up because they'd actually gone to a private school where there was like the kilts involved, and it was like the 70s or 80s or something, and it must have been early 70s because spanking was still allowed, and I think spanking had just gotten out of, you weren't allowed to use the strap. By the time I was in like grade one in like the early 80s, you weren't allowed to use the strap. So, or any kind of like a hitting in school. So it was prior to that, I guess. And there was a whole thing about just, I guess the guys in the school were fantasizing, and vice versa, girls. I guess there was a lot of fantasy going on about what happens behind the closed doors when the headmaster or headmistress is giving somebody the strap. And the scenarios of people choosing to go in because they actually really liked it, so they would get in trouble purposefully so they could get spanked. So, you know, I think until people maybe started talking about that more too, it's like, well, you know, you're punishing kids, but you know, they're kind of getting off on that. So maybe that punishment isn't working so much as you thought it was. Whenever people, and I see this a lot on social media, people are like, gotta bring back the strap because that's when kids really behaved. I'm like, did they, or were they really into that? Some of them I'm sure were not, but there was probably a handful who were like just doing naughty things just because they really got off on getting spanks. But definitely there was a bunch that were just being fully abused and not getting off on it. So I was laughing in my head about a scenario that I thought about, completely different scenario, but my brain goes in 25 different directions. So that's a conversation for another day if it happens to come out. So let's get back to this. When I was looking at the different scenarios, I'm looking at like common kinks and common fetishes, and I'm like, okay, what are some of the most common ones? And if we backtrack, where do we think these actually originate from? Do they originate from when we were like two, you know, you might've got that spank on the butt, or do they originate from later? And it could have been, you know, scenarios that were back in the day, you know, where you're getting punished at school, where we didn't have that maybe after 1980, but now those fascinations are still there. Punishment, it seems like a thing that, you know, people are quite into. Punished people do enjoy a good punishing. And as a fun, kinky thing to do. So we've got those. We've also got the whole, like bondage, which we talked about last week, being tied up. And if you came from like a highly restrictive family and you didn't feel like you had a lot of say or that you couldn't do a lot of different things, a really great way to be able to heal a lot of those past childhood traumas is to be able to reenact them through similar scenarios, or they like reference them in more like psychological terms as like analogous scenarios. They're similar, they're not the same. So put you in similar scenarios so that you can act things out in a safe way to be able to start to heal whatever's going on. So let's throw out a scenario here. So in scenario, say number one, where when you were a kid, maybe you were, we'll do me as an example, like holding on to my pee forever. And that would lead to, occasionally I would pee my pants. And then if I did, I was often like highly embarrassed. I would hide it. I learned how to do laundry pretty young because I kind of stopped doing that around age 9, I guess. But until then, there were scenarios where I was holding on and holding on. could have gone, but held on because there was no way I was going to go when somebody said, do you need to go to the bathroom? Heck no. That means they can tell and they can't know anything about me. And it's a big secret, you know? It was like a weird psychological trip. Like, no, you can't be right. Nobody can be right. Only I know what's right for my body. Weird, mysterious, funny little things that we do in our own brains. So we take that scenario, me holding on to pee, peeing my pants, having embarrassment over that, not having a kink over it at the time, and then move forward to being able to heal that, healing it in different scenarios with other people who might have been talking about that, or being in scenarios where people have asked for that as a way to heal their own stuff. So going through those kinds of scenarios and doing analogous play with people can really help to be able to heal some of those things, where then you look back and you're like, oh, okay, was it as bad as I thought it was? Well, at the time, it was mortifying and terrible, but now, can I look back? Can I heal the wound that was from that time? Can I love that wounded part of me? And can I begin to change the charge on that so it's not so like disgusting or embarrassing or any of that? And it's just like, oh, just is what it is. So it's really helpful in order to be able to work with people to be able to get out of anything where there's like shame or anything like that. So being able to work through scenarios and work through different things so that if somebody does come and they're like, this is my thing, it's like, okay, yeah, I can see that, you know, instead of like, well, like having fear around it. So part of the work when you're working as like in my work is that when you're working with people who are wanting to have better sex lives and you're working with people who are trying to heal, especially old traumas in their body, you got to be willing to hear it all, see it all, and not judge any of it. The only time I question people's stuff is when they're, and I've never come across it, but I would question this, is if somebody was into necrophilia, because there's no consent from the dead body, and that's like a violation of a corpse. And with animals, there's no consent, and with children, there's no consent. So when there can be no consent given, I'm not okay with that. But everything else that involves consent and over the age of consent, over 18, as long as that person has the ability to give consent and they're over the age of 18, that is a world to discuss and explore amongst your adult selves. So when we look at these kinky scenarios and wonder like, where did I get this from? I wonder. So like, where was my fear of these things? My fear of these things were coming from all the times where I felt so embarrassed and humiliated. Like, well, I peed my pants. That was absolutely embarrassing. And I got in trouble. Every time I got, somebody would either embarrass or humiliate me about it. So it was never comforting. It was never like somebody going, oh, it's okay, we'll take care of this. It was like, it was not fun or kind. And yeah, did I hold my pee for too long? Yeah, I did. But was I nine and under? Yeah, I was. So, you know, deal with it, adults. And I always cleaned up my own mess because I had to, because I was hiding it, because I was embarrassed. So, but now I can look at this and go, okay, so that's what happened. And now other people, I can see now why it would be a turn on for other people, because maybe they actually were comforted. Maybe the humiliation kind of, there was the edge where humiliation also aroused them simultaneously. Because that level of arousal can be that fight or flight. It can get you aroused to the point where you are turned on by it. But it can also be like a bit of a internal confusion. Like you got happy hormones racing as well as like fight or flight hormones racing. It's like it's a cocktail of hormones running in your body. So it can be an exciting experience to have. So for people who have that now as adults where they like enjoy the humiliation, there's probably an element of really loving their body is like reacting and really loving the cocktail of hormones going on from the pleasure and the fear and all of it simultaneously, which is a lot going on all at the same time. And you probably go in waves, I would think. The body, I don't know if the body can even release all of that simultaneously, but the sensation can feel like it's simultaneous. So why do we care where these things come from? Well, the reason why I'm talking about this and why I care about where do these things come from is because so many people make them so wrong, and they make it so taboo, and it's something that, only weirdos do. So that can be, to me, that's problematic. So why do I talk about this? Is because to me, this has the possibility to be able to help people heal in ways that they've never considered healing before. Yes, they can be doing it for fun right now. They can be doing it for fun and just for explorative fun and curiosity and all that jazz. But there's also a term that's come out, is like curative kink. So you can use kink as a method for healing. And curative kink can be incredibly helpful and useful, especially when we're looking at things like analogous situations where somebody is kind of role playing the scenario that they needed to either feel like they're in control of, or say, for example, there are like rape fantasies, and if you've ever been violated, then playing that out in a safe, controlled environment can be incredibly helpful to feel like you've regained control, you regain your say. You might experience or re-experience different trauma responses while you're going through the scenario if you don't have enough information ahead of time. So it's really good to get as much information as you can. Remind yourself that you're in a scenario, remind yourself you're in control. Know that you have your safe words, and that whoever you're with in that experience is respecting your safe words. But also, in that particular kind of scenario, it's good to have some kind of agreement signed in advance so that everybody's safe. Like, you're not gonna, turn around and then say, well, I wasn't playing there. Well, that's a really serious one where you need to be really clear before you go out and have that done, so that everybody knows where they stand, and everybody knows that they're safe, and that there isn't going to be any issues after the fact. So there also needs to be a lot of aftercare after the fact, especially in those kinds of scenarios. We're going to head to our next commercial break because I was just going on a rant about some things. So there you go. You are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On The Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about abuse and trauma and the fetish connection. Like, how are all these things connected? And as I've said in the first segment or so, that some research says that it's connected, some research says that it's not, but that research says it's not, it's very specific to certain conditions. So we're going with, how can we use kink in a way that's, we'll call it curative kink, because that's the new terminology that's come out recently, that I've only recently seen, curative kink. So enables is a way in that enables us to be able to heal different aspects of our lives. And part of that is, we're talking about utilizing analogous scenarios. So analogous are like similar scenarios, in order to allow you to go through and then go through similar experience and then reframe the experience so that you're maybe now more in control of a situation. You start to feel more empowered. You actually become not only more empowered, but you can also control the scenario so that you're kind of like the author of it. You've written it so that you can rewrite it. And then you can rewrite all those thoughts in your head. So it's like a really great way of getting new neural connections. So one of the things that we do to keep old traumas in place is that we continually replay the same thing over and over again. And there's a tendency to have a compulsion to redo it over and over again to try and find a new solution. So that's like the repetition compulsion, just continually redoing the same action over and over again, hoping for different results, right? But we don't get different results. But what we can do is that we can start to use scenarios, but because the scenarios are in a different environment and under different conditions, then you can reframe that, and then you can become in control of the situation. So the repetition and compulsion is, as much as you might be repeating a scenario, the results your body will start to give you are going to be very different. You're going to have like the dopamine and oxytocin kicking in, because now there's a pleasure component to it that there wasn't there before, where before it might have just been fear. And then you get to have all these other new neural pathways that start to get created, because your brain is going to interpret the information differently. So one of the, I think, the coolest things that I've learned in the last 12 years of having this show, and it'll be 12 years coming up in 2 weeks, celebrating in two weeks, is that there's so much benefit to being able to have play with somebody in a way that can be not just for getting your rocks off, but it can be for healing. It's not just because you're horny, but it's because it's going to bring more to your life. And I think there's so much value that kink and you know, fetish play, all of that stuff can add to your life. So what do we want to do? We want to reframe, right? We want to reframe where everything has been traumatic. If we can take it, we can utilize those scenarios, and then we can flip them on their head, and then we can be empowered by them. Years ago, I talked on one of my episodes about how through my own experience and my own thoughts on this, I think I don't know what I was reading at the time, but because I've been doing research on, you know, human sexuality for at least 12 years, and prior to that I was always interested in that too in university, what I found at the time is that I started to heal myself through playing scenarios in my mind and flipping them, so that wherever it was that I had felt that my power had been taken away, there where I felt violated, I could flip the scenario. And it was getting violent for a while. My fantasies were quite violent, and I was replaying things, and I was in my fantasies, in order to heal the trauma, I was taking back my power in the exact same scenarios that had been done to me. I was flipping it onto the perpetrators. And at first I would find it incredibly frustrating and angering, and my body would have trauma release kind of responses of tremoring and shaking. And then I was utilizing those and then flipping those scenarios and allowing my body to be turned on by the fact that I could take back my power. And then it just went to neutral. So I went through this whole gamut of things. And it was like in the last 12 years, I've been going through all of those scenarios. And there would have been times where if you had asked me like 7 or 8 years ago, do you get, you know, turned on by the thought of, you know, punching the crap out of somebody? I'd be like, yeah, I could name like five right now that I get so turned on by. Right now, I'd be like satisfied, but then I would have been like freaking turned on by it. And it's shifted. And sometimes it will shift as you heal it. It doesn't become as significant. They don't take up so much space at your table in your mind. They don't take up so much, you know, they're like living in there rent free, right? So they don't get to live in there rent free anymore. And they start to, there's no more space for them. And so they don't have that power anymore. And then you get to take back your life. And every once in a while, these sometimes they creep back in. And I'm like, okay, there's still something to heal here. Let me go through that. And no, you don't get to own me. You don't get to own my responses to my pleasure. You don't get to be in control of that. So it can be incredibly empowering. And some of this stuff you can actually just do through fantasy. And you might not even be like fully masturbating at the time, but sometimes touching your body just to have the connect to yourself can be helpful. If you do happen to be masturbating and changing your thought patterns at the same time. I don't think there's like a name for that work yet, but I swear I swear I'm the inventor of it. That I don't know if I am, but utilizing masturbation as like kind of like a form of EFT. So instead of tapping your head, you're using fantasy and switching it and switching your brain thought patterns and then adding in orgasmic energy to actually give a reflection that your body can be empowered by that and feel good about what's going on. So I haven't seen anybody else talk about that in any research yet. So I'm going to TM that. That's my trademark, masturbate through flipping scenarios in your head. And yeah, it might not be the sexiest thing at first, but if you can like be with that frustration, all of those feelings that come up, the sadness, the anger, and you allow your body to just be with that and you don't force the orgasm and you just sit with all those feelings and you just let your body go through all of it, you will find yourself on the other side and you'll probably find a huge relief in being able to be more expressive to things that maybe you were afraid of before or never would have tried, because now you start to realize that you can trust you again and that you've had your back through that whole scenario and that you will be able to move through that. And I don't think that it ever 100% goes away when there's been sexual violence that happens, but there can be like a reduction in the way that your body feels like responding to everything that you see that mimics that, right? So that if you see other scenes on TV that remind you of that, you might not go into a tailspin and lose your mind and want to cry and punch things. You might be like, okay, I see that and I can choose to walk away because I have choice. I don't have to watch that. Cool. I have choice. So we absolutely have choice and we can turn things around. So there is also a bunch of research that was done, and it's in the U.S. National Library of Medicine that shows information about fantasies of force, which I was just talking about the fantasies of force where people get turned on by it, but it's never necessarily been the fantasy where you flip it, allow for masturbation to then flip it, change the scenario, and then you move through it. It's more that they just talk about that there are fantasies, that people have sexual fantasies that involve force and dominance and submission and different sadomasochistic elements to it. So one of the greatest things you can do for yourself, if you do have interest in these things and you're wondering, how do I even begin to use anything that I'm fascinated by, is any fetish or anything, how do I use that to begin to heal and find out the roots of that? And I did pose that question in the beginning to see, like, when was the first time you were turned on by this or excited by this? When was the first time you were humiliated by it? When was the first time you had a big emotional reaction to something? that is now your kink or your fetish? Like, what do you remember being the first time for you? And then kind of backtrack it to figure out, was that something that happened more than once? Was that a repeated pattern? What was it that had you going and keep interested in that? So a lot of times when we look at kink, we're just looking at it as kind of like a sexual curiosity, exploration, play kind of a thing. But there really is so much valuable ways to use it in order to be more on the spectrum of the curative kink, so that you can allow it to begin to heal your body, your nervous system, invite even more. And you'll probably still like the play, but you're going to come from it from a different angle where it's just going to be incredibly playful. And the traumas are gone, so there won't necessarily be like mixed, messy energy going on with it. We're going to head to our last commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network. And as we go to commercial break, remember to go and like me. Give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'd super appreciate that. All right, we're going to head to our commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today I was looking at the whole concept of abuse and trauma and how there's a connection to fetishes. And, you know, I've probably given you guys a lot of examples and ideas. Those are also just going to like help you with your exploration to start to open the door to what is that? Like, you know, where did that start? That is true even for if you're somebody who is incredibly rigid sexually. Like, rigid by that, I mean like missionary is your only way. And if that's, and you might have actually a kink for being full on missionary. I know that sounds like the opposite, but some people have a big kink for a lot of things that are modest these days. Modesty culture has become like huge. With kinks, like women being fully clothed from head to toe, just barely showing their ankles is like becoming a thing now, in the last few years especially. So if it happens to be that your kink is like missionary is your only thing, then, you know, even that, look at that. Like, what is that that has you be so attracted to only missionary? Do you feel that, you know, are you in the dominant position? Are you the giver in that scenario? Are you the receiver in that scenario? And what is it that you really like about that in particular? Because if it is the thing that is like, that is your only thing that turns you on, that may be something to look at. And if it's also the only thing you've ever allowed yourself to explore, that's another thing to look at as well. Also, if you've gone from like absolutely no touch whatsoever in your life, not even like holding hands, and this does happen sometimes for people where you've not ever even experienced the bare minimum of affection, and you're going from that to a completely extreme kinky lifestyle, you do want to get a few things under your belt. You do want to get communication under your belt. you do want to learn that consent is integral to this kind of play. It's integral in life. And, you know, curiosity is important too. So these are all things that, you know, we take for granted that we think, or maybe I take it for granted that I think everybody knows that there should be consent and curiosity and communication and connection. We take it for granted. I take it for granted. But they're so incredibly important. And everything to do with fetishes and kinks, they're all creating connection in a different way. So whether you're, you know, being spanked to create connection, or whether somebody's urinating on your foot to feel connected to you, or urinating in your mouth to feel connected to you, or whatever happens to be the scenario, that is all ways that people feel a way to connect, whether it's like, ooh, now we have a secret, or maybe it's like, ooh, now we have, we've done something that I've never done before, so now that's great, or ooh, this is my thing, and now you're part of my thing. There's so many reasons why people can feel so deeply connected through touch and through play. And so kink is no different. People will feel connected through play. You can watch that in little kids. They connect through play. They're like, let's skip together. Let's run together. Well, as adults, we're not that different. We just happen to bring it into the sexy realm half the time. So bringing it into your life in order to create connection so that you can heal the places that are wounded, that you don't feel connected, where you can bring in kink play, different play, so that you can feel, you know, if you were highly abandoned and you want to bring in play that helps you feel deeply connected, or you bring in the play that is analogous play so that you feel that you're being rejected, and then you can work through that. What I do know is if you are going through this and you have had past traumas in childhood, that working with somebody who is a trained therapist, and or like a trained sex and intimacy, sex coach, kink coach, sexologist, anybody who works in the field specifically, and also working with somebody as your playmate, right? So the person that you can do the scenarios with is really helpful. If you can happen to find somebody who does both, you are a lucky, lucky person. So another thing to look for in order to feel that you can start to heal and start to work through things is to find, you know, different scenarios in life, like different groups. Like FetLife is a great place to go looking for that. It's one of the most common sites, FetLife, to go look for different groups with similar fetishes, that similar interests. And then you might find through conversation with those people that you guys all have something in common. And that could be a really great start to a community so that you can begin to heal. Because most of us are looking for connection, whether we're looking for connection through kink, or we're looking through connection through, I don't know, having coffee or playing golf. We're all looking for connection through different ways. So it doesn't really matter how we're doing it, as long as everything that we're doing is consensual. That's the important part. And, you know, being able to reframe the traumas is also so key. Being able to look at what's gone on in your life that disempowered you, and being able to flip it so that you're empowered, is so huge. And the more you do it, the more you are in different healing environments that allow you to flip those scenarios, the more you grow, the more you know about yourself, the more you might become more chillaxed in life and just have more fun too. And so letting your body release through somatic releases, that's fantastic. So I do somatic body work, and that I do find people get great results from that. So sometimes it's just being able to connect to your body and connect to the things that your body really wants to test out. So definitely be safe with that and have fun with
that.
Thank
you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.